chapter 24 and verse number 22. Let me kind of bring you up to date with what's been going on here. If you're keeping notes with me, I've been preaching on Acts chapter 23, verse 12. And then we're concluding all the way through the end of chapter 24 today. As you come to this passage, and I'll read our text here momentarily and pray with you, and I'm just bringing you up to date with where we are. As you come to this passage, we're reminded that the Apostle Paul has been rejected. He's been beaten. He's been persecuted. Now keep in mind that Paul's desire was for his people, the Jewish nation, to receive the Lord Jesus as their Savior. But instead of receiving him, they have turned on Paul, and they want Paul dead. Now, in our text here earlier in chapter 23, the Lord came and stood by Paul to encourage him during this time, and he spoke peace and promise and purpose to him. And when you come to Acts chapter 23, verse 12, there are two things we've looked at so far. The first thing we noticed was in Acts chapter 23, verse 12 through 35, and that is we preached on Paul's protection. I encourage you to go back and get that. Then, in chapter 24, all the way down through verse number 21, we noticed Paul's prosecution. He's standing before these false accusers, and they are accusing him falsely before this man by the name of Felix. Now we come to major point number three, and this is what I call, and this is the title here today, this is part three here, I call it Paul's preaching, because we come to chapter 24, verse 22, I'm going to read this, I'm going to pray with you, and we'll give this thought to you today. The Bible says, and when Felix heard these things, verse 22, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. He commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance and minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled, answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Let me pray with you, and this is Roman numeral 3 to this message that I've entitled Paul the Prisoner. We've noticed now Paul's protection, Paul's prosecution, and today we look at Paul's preaching. Let's pray together. Father, would you help me and guide me by your Spirit, empower me by the Holy Spirit of God, and may, if somebody's here today that's come to church but has never come to Christ, or somebody listening live that is listening but has never trusted the Lord, may today be the day of salvation, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as Felix is here as the governor, and he hears these things about Paul that we've already preached on, the Bible tells us in these verses that he deferred them. In other words, he just put them off. He wanted to wait until Lysias came before he made a judgment. And after certain days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla. Now, Drusilla came from Herod's family. Matter of fact, her father's the one that killed James, Acts chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Her great uncle killed John the Baptist and mocked Jesus. That's her great uncle in Luke 23, 6 to 12. Her great grandfather tried to kill baby Jesus in Matthew chapter 2. As you can tell, she's from a great family line there, you see. She was Felix's third wife that he induced to leave her husband to become his wife. And Felix sent for Paul, the Bible tells us in these verses, and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. In other words, he called for Paul to come and speak to him about the message of Jesus Christ. Now at this time, Paul preaches to Felix, and he preaches to Drusilla concerning the faith in Christ. And in verse number 25, he brings out three things here. This is kind of just introducing this to you. I'm getting ready to give you three other things here. But in verse number 25, Paul begins to press for conviction. He begins to talk to Felix and Drusilla, who are living in sin. He's talking to them about three things. The Bible says he reasoned to them about righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. Let me look at these here, but as I'm just laying groundwork. First of all, he talked to them about righteousness. Now, one man said this part of Paul's message dealt with right and wrong. And if there is no wrong, there's no need of forgiveness of a Savior to make us right. And you understand, a true gospel preacher will do much preaching, not only on what's right, but also on what's wrong. He will emphasize God's standard of righteousness and condemn all who deviate from God's standard of right. There's no doubt here that this reasoning about righteousness, in my mind, there's no doubt that the Apostle Paul is talking about the righteousness that you can only find in the Lord Jesus Christ. The point is that Paul was emphasizing that one can only be made righteous in the sight of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we cannot be at peace with God through our own righteousness, but only through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, who was crucified for our sin. Understand that God Almighty dwells in heaven. This is where He dwells. We know He's everywhere. By Spirit, we get it. But His immediate presence is in heaven. And the Bible teaches that He's not going to let anything, nothing, no thing, not one single thing enter heaven to defile it. The reason that's the case is because He cannot dwell with sin. Which means this: He's all holy. He's all righteous. He's never sinned, never has, and never will. Because of that, the standard to get to heaven is not the best you can do. The standard to get to heaven is not all you can be. No, no, no. The standard to get to heaven is God Himself. The standard to get to heaven is all righteous, all holy, no sin. This tells me that you must be perfect to get to heaven. You've got to be just like God to get to heaven. You know what that tells me? Nobody here is good enough to get to heaven on their own. Nobody is. And when Paul is reasoning about righteousness, there's no doubt that he's telling Felix and he's telling Drusilla that they need the righteousness that can only be found in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. In other words, they can only get to heaven based on what Jesus has done. See, the Bible says in Isaiah 64:6, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." In other words, all the good things that we do in the sight of God when it comes to our justification, trying to earn God's favor to go to heaven, God says all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in His sight. In other words, it's not good enough. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, as it's written, "There is none righteous, no, not one." Philippians 3:9, "And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For He, God the Father, hath made Him, God the Son, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Romans 3:22, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." He reasoned about righteousness, the righteousness that we need through the Lord Jesus Christ. He reasoned about temperance, the Bible said. And keep in mind who he's talking to. He's talking to a man who induced this woman to leave her husband and become his third wife. He's talking to a woman who is an ungodly lady, coming from an ungodly heritage, who left her husband and yoked up with this loser. Let's just be honest about it. They're showing no self-control, and Paul is saying, you need to show temperance. God, give us a backbone like the Apostle Paul. The word temperance here means self-control, especially when it comes to sexual purity. You say, wait a minute, why did he talk about this when he's trying to win these people to Christ. Keep in mind who he's talking to. He's speaking to this couple who was living in open sin. And what he's doing here, friends, is Paul was showing them, just in case they start thinking, well, we're okay. Paul brings up an illustration that hits them right between the eyes and says, oh, by the way, God wants you to be temperate. He wants you to have self-control. He doesn't want you to be loose sexually. He doesn't want you to be loose morally. And that's exactly what this couple's been doing. All he's doing is pointing them to their need of Jesus Christ. He's reasoning to them about temperance here. He's reasoning to them here about righteousness. And then he reasons to them about judgment to come. Paul has spoken of righteousness. He's spoken of temperance. But now Paul brings out the fact of coming judgment. This was Paul bringing Felix and Drusilla face to face with the fact of one day standing before God to give account of their lives. You know, men must answer to God for how they've acted here on earth. God will look us over closely. Matter of fact, the Word of God says in Matthew 12:36, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. And folks, if that does not drive you to Christ for forgiveness of sin, you're indeed one with a very hard heart. There's no doubt about this. Hebrews 9:27 says, as it's appointed a man once to die, but after this the judgment. Acts 17:31, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. By that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. Concerning Paul's preaching, I'm just introducing this. I'm getting ready to get in my outline, okay? I'm introducing this preaching to you. One man said he was not satisfied with gratifying the curiosity of his hearers talking about Paul. He endeavored to reach their consciences and convince them of their sin. That's what he's doing here. He's telling them you need to be righteous before God. You need to be temperate, which you are not. And you got to, and listen, you have a date with Almighty God. Was it polite? Not very. But it was right. Paul was not sent out to be polite, but he was sent out to preach the gospel of God. And if he ever did intend to preach on righteousness, continence, and judgment to come, this was the audience for him. He took a shot at the game in sight, you see. There was absolutely no compromise in his message. He did not fear the one who had the keys to prison. He feared the one who had the keys to heaven. And how this shames ministers who water down their message to please the influential members. They only stand to lose their job if their members don't like the truth. But Paul could lose his life if Felix and Drusilla didn't like the truth. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now, I'm getting ready to get into this thought here. And here's the Apostle Paul. He loved God, he knew God, and he was being treated unfairly here, friends. He's being held against his will. He was being held illegally here. But yet Felix, the governor, calls for him with Drusilla, his wife there, his third wife of all things. He's curious about the faith in Christ. Well, if you want to know about faith in Christ, the Apostle Paul was the right one to call on. The Apostle Paul comes and boldly preaches to them righteousness, the righteousness that they need that's only found in God. He preached temperance, and that's what they were guilty of. He was trying to preach to convict their sin and convict their heart and get them under conviction. He pointed them to the coming judgment, that there's coming a day when they're going to stand before Almighty God. Notice with me that as a result of his preaching, nothing is said of Drusilla. Nothing. You know what this tells me? She was so hard-hearted that she was phased at none at all. But something was different about Felix. The Bible tells us in this passage of Scripture here, in verse number 25, almost in the middle of that verse, the Bible says, right after it says judgment to come, it says Felix trembled. You know what that word trembled means? It means he was terrified. It means he was afraid. In other words, he knew that what Paul was saying was right. However, what did he do? Did he humble himself, bow before God, asked God to forgive his sin and by faith trust Jesus Christ, the Savior of Paul, to come into his heart, forgive him, make him righteous, and take him to heaven. No, 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 he didn't do that. Rather, we see he turned away from salvation. And he said no. In these verses, there are three verses. I'm talking about 25, 26, and 27. In these three verses, I see three separate things about Felix that summarize why he said no. And I'm telling you that when Felix heard the truth and he trembled in fear before God, by the way, all those are good things. It means he was under conviction. It means he knew he needed this. But instead of saying yes, he chose no. And we see three major reasons he did. Because these same three things that summarize why Felix said no to Jesus here are three of the major reasons people are still saying no to Jesus Christ today. Are you with me where I'm going with this? And I encourage you that if you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you have never trusted Christ, or if you say, I don't know if I have or not, don't be another Felix. I promise you something about Felix. Today, he wishes he could go back to this chapter and make a different decision. So this is really written now for your benefit. And if you're listening live, I encourage you to remove all distractions. Because God is wanting to do something special. Why did Felix say no? When he was scared to death, trembling and fearing, knowing in his heart, I need this. Number one, verse 25. It all starts with P's here, just to help you remember. I call it procrastination. You see this in verse number 25. See, even though Felix trembled and was afraid of what he heard, he told Paul that he would call for him when he had what? Look at it, verse 25. When I have a convenient season. Look here, please. According to the Word of God, that convenient season never came. And the devil will always make sure that it's never convenient for you to say yes to Jesus. Come on, friends. Do you honestly think that the devil's going to sit back and say, God bless you, thank you for thinking about trusting Jesus? God bless you. I'm telling you, I'm so proud of you. No. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of people today who know they need Jesus, but they've said no to him because they think they're going to have more opportunities. And they think there's coming another time when they can make this right. And I'm simply telling you, folks, that what Felix was simply doing, he was putting off his need of salvation. He knew he needed Jesus. He knew he needed to be saved. He just put it off. In other words, here's what he was saying. Not now, Paul. Maybe later, but not now. W.A. Criswell said it this way. He said, Felix's answer was, when I have a convenient season, I will. In other words, not now, but tomorrow. He went on to say, I've labeled those words the most tragic words in the Bible. Felix delayed and procrastinated on receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. And as far as we know, his convenient season never came. All I'm saying to you is this, it's a dangerous thing to put off trusting Christ. It's a dangerous thing. See, God was gracious to Felix. Hey, he was gracious to Drusilla as well. By them even having a curiosity to call for Paul, they wanted to hear about the faith in Christ. Look, that's what it says. They were curious. They wanted to hear about the faith in Jesus Christ. So God sent them Paul. Wow. He sent Paul to them. And Paul preached his heart out to them. Listen, you need the righteousness of God. And you need to be temperate. You're sinners. And you're going to stand before God. And to this, Felix starts trembling and getting afraid and fearful. He's under conviction. But he says, not today, Paul. Maybe another time. Happened in 1962. It was in a hotel in Seattle. Evangelist Billy Graham, who's now with the Lord, was there and he was lying asleep. All of a sudden he awoke and he was in a terrible state of mind. His mind was thinking about Marilyn Monroe, the film star. He was terribly burdened about that young girl's soul. She was living in so much sin. All the pressures of show business and fame were upon her. First thing in the morning, Billy Graham got some of his advisors and he said, "Listen, God's really burdened me about this girl. You're going to have to contact her agent and see if I can have a meeting with her. I really feel I must speak to her about her soul." Sure enough, they lifted the phone. They rang through to her publicity offices and got in touch with some of her advisors. And they said, "I'm sorry. I know it's urgent and you want to speak to her, but I can't fit you in for another 2 weeks. You're going to have to wait two weeks. But in 2 weeks' time, the headlines hit the world. Monroe commits suicide. See, 2 weeks was too long. Friends, listen to me. We serve a loving God. He loves the world. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. But how long that door is open, it's not up to you. It's up to Him. By the way, don't let these passages throw you off where it talks about Pharaoh hardened his heart and then God hardened Pharaoh's heart and see, God hardened his heart. See, he couldn't be saved. Phooey on that nonsense, friends. The Bible plainly teaches Pharaoh hardened his heart. Then it says God hardened his heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart. God hardened his heart. Here's the point. God spoke to Pharaoh and Pharaoh said no. He hardened his heart. God spoke to him again and Pharaoh said no. He hardened his heart. Until one day God finally said, "Okay, no." And God hardened his heart. You know what the point is? The open door is only open for so long. And if God speaks to your heart, hey, it's not a bad thing to be afraid. Did you know that? It's not a bad thing to be afraid of dying without Christ. You ought to be afraid to die without Christ. You ought to be afraid of going into eternity without God. God opens the door. And if you say no, God may just look at you and say, "Okay, then my answer is no. I won't deal with you anymore." Wow, that'd be a terrible position to be in. I'm simply trying to tell you that what I'm preaching is the most serious thing that anybody could ever preach on. It's you knowing for sure that heaven's your home. Don't be foolish and settle for anything less than the second birth. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, spoke to a young boy in his Sunday school class about trusting Christ. The boy said, "Sir, I'm going west. I'm going where the careers are, where the prospects are. There's nothing here. When I get there and get settled down into a business, I'll trust Christ then." Just putting it off, you see. Moody tapped him on the shoulder one day when he met him in town and said, "Have you trusted Christ yet?" "No," he said, "I'm ready to go. I have my bags packed. Tomorrow I'm going on that train. I'm going west. I'm going to live my life. Then when I get settled, yes, then I'll do it," you see. Folks, you can't bargain with God. God deals with you. God speaks to you. God draws you. God convicts you. And that's the time when you say yes to Jesus. You don't put God off and say, I'll give you later time. No. God says, "I want you now." And if you say no, you're gambling with your soul. Moody heard a few weeks later that the young man had fallen very ill, had fallen sick. He went to his bedside where he was under the fever and he knelt down and he said, "Now, son, will you not trust Christ? Trust Him." He said a different tone came from the young man. He turned and said, "Leave me alone. I don't want to hear about it again. Leave me alone. Moody said in his soul he felt a snap, like the breaking of a string. He knew that something had happened. A little time later, Moody was in his bed, and there was a knock at the door. There was a stone being thrown up at the window to try to awaken him. He opened the window and he looked down, and there was this young woman, and she was crying, "Mr. Moody, Mr. Moody, he's sick, he's sick, he's dying." Moody looked down and he said, "I'm sorry, my dear, but your husband has made his final refusal. But Mr. Moody, you have to come and speak to him. Read with him and pray with him again. Give him another chance." So Mr. Moody went. As he walked up those stairs, he walked across the landing to the open door. All he could hear was the whine of a dying man crying out, "Too late. Too late." Friends, you know, I'm glad God's helping me preach through tears today. If you can preach and not be broken, people are dying without Christ, something's wrong. Now, you don't have to cry to be broken, you understand. I'm telling you, I know there's a God in heaven who died for your sin because he does not want you to die without him. But he loves us so much that he will not force himself on us. He says, "Here I am, you need me, and I want you." Say yes to Jesus. Hebrews 3:15, while it's said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. 2 Corinthians 6:2, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You know, the devil never has asked anybody to sign the contract to spend eternity with him. He only suggested he be given one day at a time. Just one more opportunity. Meanwhile, a heart grows harder. The voice of the Spirit is heard more and more faintly. Until at last that heart hears him no more. Eternity is filled with people who sincerely intended to accept Christ. But like Felix, they just put it off until a convenient time. There's no record that the Roman governor, Felix, ever again trembled under the power of the gospel. You will not find it again in Scripture that he ever trembled again. Yet the Bible says he called for Paul more often. He kept hearing Paul, but every time Paul came back, the trembling left. It's dangerous to say no to God. Procrastination, number two, these next two don't take as long. Aren't you glad? Number two, verse 26, pleasure. You see this in verse 26. Notice he hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might lose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. Can you imagine that? Here this man is trembling, afraid, under conviction, and instead of saying yes to Jesus, he wants a bribe. Wow. In this verse, it said that Felix hoped to be given money in order to free Paul. In other words, he wanted a bribe to release Paul. This is a sad commentary on Felix at this time. He heard the gospel. He even trembled. But instead of humbling himself and trusting the Lord, he's putting the pleasures and profits of this world above the need of his own soul. He would rather have the riches of this world than the forgiveness of his sin. You know, in the same way, there are those today who still choose pleasure over the Son of God. They want the thrills of this world more than the redemption of their soul. You know, the Word of God speaks of this in Mark 8:36. Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" In other words, you could have everything earth has to offer you. What good is it if you die without Christ? What good is it? Number one, procrastination, putting it off. That's why a lot of people say no to Jesus today. Because, see, it's so deceptive, they feel like they're not saying no. You see what I'm saying? I didn't say no to him. I just not right now. Let me just say this to you. the choices of answers is not yes, no, and I'll think about it. No. It's either yes or no. That's it. That's it. And if you say tomorrow, that's saying no today. Procrastination. Pleasure. Number three, popularity. We see this in verse 27. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room. Notice this now. And Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. You know what that tells me? He knew he shouldn't have Paul bound. He knew that was wrong. But he just kept him bound because he wanted to please the Jews. He wanted to be popular. See, this tells me right here that he was more interested in pleasing the crowd than he was getting his heart right with God. He wanted to be popular with the crowd instead of getting right with God. You know, popularity will make a fool out of any who worship it. There are those who still choose popularity over the Lord Jesus Christ. For instance, the Lord Jesus is not popular with this world. He's not popular with the world's philosophies. And if you want to be popular in this life, you are in danger of rejecting the Son of God. Don't let this happen to you. Here's the point. Some people never trust Christ because they wonder, what will they think? What will she think? Or what will he think? Or what will that person think? Or I've been coming to this church for years. What will the people think if I come? That's what I'm talking about right here. May I say this to you, friends? Somebody stands before God, you're not going to care what anybody thinks of you. It's only going to matter what God thinks and what God knows. And I'll guarantee you this, no matter who you are, I'm not trying to get anybody to doubt today. You know me better than that, friends. I'm not trying to get you to doubt anything today. I'm just trying to help you make sure that you know you've trusted Christ. And if you have, you ought to say glory to God. Amen. If you have not, you shouldn't let anything or anybody keep you from trusting Christ. You should not procrastinate this decision. You should not, I'm talking about don't let anything on earth keep you from doing it, whether it's profit, gain, pleasure, or whether it's popularity. I'll guarantee you this, anybody whose heart's right with God, I mean right with God, if somebody comes and has been coming to this church for 40 years, 30 years, 10 years, 5 years, and say, I'm just going to tell you something, God spoke to me today, I really need to be saved today. I'll tell you what will happen for those who know God. They'll rejoice in their spirit and say, glory to God, that the Holy Spirit of God revealed that to you today, and today's your day of salvation. Amen, friends. I'm telling you, I'm not the greatest pastor that's ever. As a matter of fact, I'm probably one of the worst ones. I'm just trying to tell you something. God's put a burden in my heart. I don't want anybody to go to hell from the pews of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. I'm asking you a question. Can you prove? Can you prove? I'm going to ask you if you prayed a prayer. I'm asking, have you trusted Jesus Christ? Have you been born again? I mean, can you prove from the Bible that you're going to heaven? If you say yes, I'm telling you, that's enough right there to stop for about 5 minutes and say, thank you, God. But if you can't, today's the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. The point in this is Paul preached his heart out. Wouldn't you like to just been listening in that day? Paul preached his heart out. He loved Felix. He loved Drusilla. He emphasized righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. He showed them their need of Jesus Christ and his wonderful forgiveness of sin. And while nothing is said of Drusilla, Felix trembled, showing his fear and concern with what Paul had preached. Instead of calling out for God to save his soul, he rejected his need of salvation. He put his eternal decision off to a convenient time, which never came. He chose the pleasures of this world. He wanted what this world has more than Jesus. And he decided that he'd rather have the popularity with the people and not offend anybody than to have the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Today, no doubt, he wishes he had said yes to Jesus, And he had said no to procrastination, no to pleasure, no to popularity. And if you're here today and have never accepted Christ, don't make this same mistake. Learn from his mistakes. Call out to Jesus right now and ask the Lord to save your soul. Do you at least understand the message? There's going to be two types of people leave this congregation today. Those who are like Paul on their way to heaven. And those who are like Felix. May there be a Felix be miraculously transformed to a Paul today. Amen. And this can even happen over the live streaming. May the Lord add his blessing to this. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. You've listened well today, I appreciate it. Thank you for being so attentive today. God bless you. We're honored that you're here. Whether you're visiting with us or whether you come here all the time, thank you for being in church this morning. As we're preparing for the invitation is pretty straightforward today. It's about your soul. I want to ask, as they begin to play through softly, I want to ask you a question. Do you really, really know that you're born again, that you're saved, that you're on your way to heaven? I'm not asking, are you a member of a church? I'm not asking, have you been baptized? I'm not asking, are you doing the best you can? I'm asking, have you had the righteousness of Jesus Christ applied to your heart and life? Has there been a time when you, by faith, received the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior? You weren't playing games. You were serious. You know that's happened to you. If you know that's happened to you, please, only if you know, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? You say, I know that's happened to me. God bless you. Thank you. By the way, you can put your hand down. Isn't it great to be able to put your hand up to that? Amen. Glory to God. If you're here today and could not raise your hand, you're among friends. We love you. Or maybe you're listening live. I want to ask you a question, and I don't do this often, but since there are people listening live, I want to make a push to lead people to Christ. If you're listening live or you're in this congregation tonight, this morning, and you say, you know, Pastor, you're talking to me. I do not know for sure that I'm going to heaven, or maybe you know you're lost. You know you're not saved. Do you understand that you're a sinner in need of Jesus? Do you understand that Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, God in human flesh, left heaven, became a man so he could die to take your sin, to take the punishment for your sin? See, this is why God had to leave heaven, because he's the only one good enough for heaven, you see. This is why it took the death of Jesus Christ, God in flesh, because that's the only thing that's good enough to take care of our sin. He was buried, and 3 days later he rose again. Thank you. And he says, if you will simply call out by faith and receive him and ask him to come into your heart, he says and he promises that he'll do just that. So if you're listening live or you're here and you know that you need to be saved, and you do know that you're a sinner, and you believe that Jesus died for you, and you believe he rose again, and you, by faith, you want him, you desire him. You don't want to say no to him anymore. You want to be saved. You want to be delivered. You want to be forgiven of your sin. Then I'm going to form a simple prayer today. This is a prayer for you to trust Christ. I'm going to pray it out loud, but I want you to pray it silently. If you're listening live and you're by yourself, if you want to pray out loud, help yourself. Here's the prayer. Christians, I hope you're praying. Here's the prayer. I'm going to ask them just to drop out for just a moment. Here's the prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I am not righteous before you. But I believe that you died for me. And I ask right now that you come into my heart. That you please forgive my sin. That you save me. Change my life. I trust Jesus Christ alone to be my Savior. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly again. If you're in this congregation and you say, Pastor Jody, I am not ashamed to tell you that when you prayed, I prayed with you. I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I wouldn't do that for anything on planet Earth. But folks, you should never be ashamed of taking Jesus as your Savior. It's the greatest day of your life. If you say, Pastor Jody, I prayed with you, I'm not ashamed of it. Would you quietly, without drawing attention to yourself, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Is there anybody like that? God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If you're listening live, and you prayed that prayer, I want to encourage you to contact our church office. You can Google our church at buffaloridgebaptist.org. You can contact our church by dialing 423-477-3311. And you call and leave us a message, or if you get to somebody, you let us know, hey, I was listening live, and I prayed with the pastor. And I'm not ashamed to tell somebody that I did. May the Lord add His blessing to this. If you prayed today and asked the Lord to come into your heart, I realize you may have just been doubting. I get that. But folks, there's nothing wrong with getting assurance of your salvation. Salvation's a one-time thing, but there's nothing wrong with making sure you understand. So when Brother Gary begins to sing in just a moment, I want you to come. Let us know that today you prayed to ask the Lord to come into your heart. And don't be ashamed of it. May the Lord help us with this. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it and use it, I pray. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As Brother Gary sings, if you prayed to receive the Lord, I want you to come now. Would you do that to let us know that today you're trusting Jesus as your Savior?
Someday you'll hear God's final call to you to take His offer of salvation true. This could be it, my friend, if you but knew God's final call. God's final call. How can you live another day in sin, thinking someday with Christ you will begin? Oh, will you hear above the world's loud din God's final call? God's final call. If you reject God's final call of grace, you'll have no chance your footsteps to retrace. All hope will then be gone, and doom you'll face. Oh, hear His call. Oh, hear His call.
You can look this way. We're dealing with some folks coming to join the church today. Praise the Lord. If you're happy for those who receive Christ today, say amen.
Amen.
We have a special invite card that's been made for Easter. And it says, hope is alive this Easter at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Isn't that good? It's got the gospel on the back. These are available in stacks of like 10 as you leave today. If you'll start giving these out, we've got about a month to do this. Can you imagine that? Easter's here in a month. So thank the Lord for that. If you'll take care of that, that'll be good. This is Emmy over here, and this is her first time today. She's in third grade, road bus number 4, 9 years old, and she's coming today to put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Are you happy for that? Say amen.
Amen.
That is a blessing. That's a blessing. Praise the Lord. Let me just put a push in right there for the special bus meeting tonight. Hey, it still works, friends. And I encourage you to be here. All workers, I need you in that meeting. You'll come in here first and we'll be dismissed from here, okay? And then anybody that's interested, if you come, you're not signing up for the bus ministry. But I hope many of you will come just because you're interested. What's it about? You see what I'm saying? And we'll meet in the chapel, and I'll dismiss you there from the service here. You can go ahead and take her back out. We're so happy you're here, Emmy. God bless you. No doubt about that. This is Miss Ethel Johnson and also Mr. and Mrs. James Smith here. If y'all wouldn't mind to stand there, if you don't mind. And Charlotte, if you'll stand with them. They've been coming for a while. They know the Lord. They've been scripturally baptized. They've read the bylaws. I've got it signed here, all of that. And they believe it's God's will for them to become members of this local church by statement. And we're so happy about this. Praise the Lord for it. What's the pleasure of the church that we accept them by statement into our membership? Brother Rim, Brother Shaw, all members say aye. Raise your hand high. God bless you. So, Carrie, it's official. So we're glad you're here. You can be seated. We've got some gifts for you. And this is Steve and Sharon Dockery. If you all will stand, Miss Judy's standing with you. Same situation here. They know the Lord and so on. Most of you don't know this. I baptized them yesterday. They came to be baptized yesterday and all of that. And they're coming today because they want to put their life and influence here as members in this local church. And they want to join by letter from the New Bethel Cumberland Presbyterian Church. And they've been saved. They're born again. They've been scripturally baptized and all of that. They've got the bylaws. What's the pleasure of the church that we accept them into our membership? Brother David Hayes, Brother Danny Jenkins, all members in favor, say aye. Raise your hand high. So, Carrie, it's official. Welcome, all of you. I want you to stay right there. You can be seated, them, okay? And you stay right there. I hope many of you, I know it's like a fish swimming upstream, but if you'll come and some of you will come and greet them and just let them know we're glad to have them here. Let me put one final push in here and then we'll be dismissed in prayer. Some of you have invited others to watch by live streaming today. If you did that, I appreciate it. Let me encourage you to make a phone call. Hey, what'd you think? If they say, I hate that preacher, that could be a good sign they're under conviction. I'm not kidding when I say that. But wouldn't it be great if somebody calls in or you call them and they say, yeah, I listened. I prayed with him when he prayed. Wouldn't that be great? Let's just keep praying, seeking the Lord, asking God to touch this. Brother Joe, I'm calling on you because you're the one I see out there. You know what I mean? Your head's above everybody else there, you know? So if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us in prayer, sir, please.